Yes, I'm on. Everybody understands that today, Union Pentecostal Church has set this day aside to show appreciation for our pastors. But the one whom we appreciate the most is the one who established them in this church. He thought enough of us to place these pastors over us and over our children, and it's all that we might glorify him. Brother Brian and Sister Sarah, where is your wife? Your wife, Sarah, usually that's kind of, okay. Come up, Sister Hurst, come up if you would. When I, among other things, when I think of Brian and Sarah, my mind automatically goes to Camp Dove and the children specifically. Everybody knows that I love children. I love little ones, and I love the older ones. I love teenagers. And God loves them too. In fact, they're a heritage of the Lord. He's the one who gave them to you. And it is extremely important that we have somebody that watches over them that is accountable, somebody that is trustworthy. And for that reason, we appreciate Brian and Sarah and all that they do. And we love you guys. Early this morning, I was instructed to, well, not really, but I was told that if I went to Facebook, I would find a article that the pastor wrote, and then I found it in our bulletin. And to make it short, Brother Hurst wants to appreciate the church. That's just like him. And he names six things: the church's faithfulness, their care and kindness, their giving to and involvement in outreach, their hunger for the word, their sincere worship. And the sixth one is so easy: their love and appreciation shown to their pastors. The whole article tells you what kind of person our pastors are. Amen. And that in itself makes our appreciation of the church, it's just, we just do it because it comes natural. It's so easy to love people like the Hearse. And we sincerely, Union Pentecostal Church, sincerely loves and appreciates you. I try my best not to be sarcastic, but of course you know Brother Hurst looks over all of us, but he has to watch Brian too. Okay, we've got a group. Oh, you're ready. Let's hear it.
Thank you, Brother Maggard. And I wanted to thank all that had a part in making this day special. I know a lot of people worked really hard to do that, and I really do appreciate that. I know it took time out of your schedule, and I'm about done. And and just appreciate every expression, really, really do. It just means a lot. So I wanted to say thank you. Also, I wanted to share this with you. A pastor friend of mine called me this week, and he said, Clifford, this is a true story. He said, I'm not making this up. He said, I recently noticed in church that this one brother was acting upset at me. And so I called him aside. I said, brother, you've been acting upset. Is everything all right? I am upset. And he said, well, why? He said, I'm not sure, but Joe and Ann are upset at you, and I figure if they were, I need to be too. And I thought, I hope love works that way too. I'm not sure why I love you, but I found one other person that does, so. Amen. God bless y'all.
Given from above, a blessing. blessing from the Father's love, so you should give to the glory of God. Your gift was given from above, a blessing from the Father's love, so use your gift to the glory of God. So use your gift to the glory of God.
Okay, we're going to turn the service over to Brother and Sister Brim. We're thankful to have them here. They're not only ministers in the kingdom and pastors themselves, but they're friends of the hearse, so I'm sure he'll be diplomatic. But besides that, they know most of you too. We know them, and we appreciate and love them, Brother Brim.
Thank you, Brother Magger. Amen. It is a great privilege to be here to help you celebrate and appreciate Brother and Sister Hurst and Brother Brian and Sister Sarah McKelvey. We love and appreciate all of them, and they are dear friends of ours, okay? Me and Brother Hurst go way back to Bible school days, back when we were young, and just a lot of great times, great memories, and I'll share a little bit more about that. Brother Brian, of course, we've known for a number of years since he was just a kid with our kids in school, and he's grown into a great man. He really has. I have so much fun with Brother Brian. Anybody that's with Brother Brian has a lot of fun. But we appreciate them very much. I want to say, though, man, it is great to see Angela and Brooklyn. She's been gone for a few days, and we've been missing her terrible. So I'm so glad that she is with us. And I want to say thank you, Union Road, for Angela. Thank you. It has been a great help to Nathan. It really has been a great help to our ministry and our church, and we are blessed. So thank you very much. And you all did a great job, Sister Norvell, Sister Dirth, Sister Amen. Richmond, those that poured knowledge into her that we are reaping now. And Brother Bill and Sister Kim did a great job as well. But if you haven't seen Brooklyn yet, you need to go by and you need to look at her. Just be amazed at the beauty, all right? Be amazed. And all of our friends, we're glad to see you as well and glad that we could be with you today and have just a few moments to see you. Brother Marvin and Sister Betty came in. We was trying to remember the last time we'd seen each other, and it's like we just never could come to the time and place that we had seen each other the last, so it's been way too long. Right. And it's good to see each and every one of you today, our friends, and some of you that we've pastored, some that we've been friends with for years, and you've been a blessing to our family through the school and through your church, and we appreciate you very much. Amen. We are going to sing. Okay.
I appreciate the Lord today and His goodness. I love Brother and Sister Hurst. They're my friends from ever ago. I remember when they first came here. Brother Ward left, and they came, and we were already in Vandalia. And we've just been friends forever. They're just wonderful people. They truly love the Lord. And days like today are really hard for your pastor. And Brother Brian and Sister Sarah, I love them so much. Such wonderful young couple. And, you know, on days like today, you feel kind of sunburnt when you're the object of everybody. And it's really kind of embarrassing because you're all the time, you know, praising everybody else in the church, and then all of a sudden it's on you and you feel really weird. And I'm not kidding about that. It's really uncomfortable in a lot of ways. But sometimes we just need to stop and honor people who just give their all. You know, they don't make lots of money. They are not famous. Their name don't go on any big marquees anywhere. But everything they do is because they're sold out to the will of God and the call of God and the glory of God. Hallelujah. And this song came to my mind this morning, and Brother Bill talked about spontaneous. Well, there you go. That's me. You know, and I don't think I've sang this song in forever. I can't remember the last time. And as Brother David says, oh no. Yes, but it's the only song that was on my heart all morning long as we were thinking about the service today and asking God to have his will. And that's for the glory of Christ. And that's the only reason. You know, I think sometimes people think preachers are out for whatever, you know, but we're not. We just want the will of God in your life, in your children, in your family. And we carry you on our heart like a kid carries a backpack. You know, we carry you every day, your children, your worries, your dreams, your prayers. There are prayers because that's the way God made it. That's the way he set it up. And I'm so thankful today that God gave us a preacher. Aren't you thankful? Amen. A preacher, a shepherd. Hallelujah. And that the cares and helps and works with us and helps us to achieve great things in the Lord. And you all know this song. It's an old one, so jump in and help us. Praise the Lord. Depends how high I can get this morning. Hallelujah. To live is Christ. I have a passion in my heart I've never known before that makes me love him more. And to die is gain. I am learning through surrender what it really means to know that I am free. Oh, and it's my prayer that I would live each day in such a way that in all I do, I would bring him praise for the glory of Christ. I lay down everything that I've been given, all my hopes and my ambitions, for what he wants for the glory of Christ. Oh, I'll take up my cross and follow. Wherever he may lead, I'll live my life for the glory of Christ. He knows my heart. Isn't that wonderful? How he know I measure up to what I long to be and what he has for me. Oh, but I know his grace. Oh, I have seen how far his arms will reach to rescue me from the man that I could be. Oh, and it's my prayer that I would live each day in such a way. Go ahead and sing with me, guys. Oh, that in all I do, I would bring him praise for the glory of Christ. I lay down everything that I've been given, all my hopes and my ambitions, for what he wants for the glory of Christ. Hallelujah! Oh, I'll take up my cross and follow. Wherever he may lead, I'll live my life for the glory of Christ. Let's sing it again. Oh, for the glory of Christ.
Oh, for his glory.
I lay down everything that I've been given, all my hopes and my ambitions, for what he wants for the glory of Christ. Up my cross and follow. Wherever he may lead, I'll live my life for the glory of Christ. He knows my heart. He knows I seldom measure up to what I long to be.
Thank you, Lord.
And what He has for me. Oh, but I know His grace. Aren't you thankful this morning? Hallelujah! I have seen how far His arms will reach to rescue me.
Hallelujah.
From the one that I can be.
Hallelujah.
Oh, but it's my prayer. Hallelujah. I will live each day in such a way. And that's your prayer today. Oh, that in all I do, I would bring Him praise for the glory of God. My hopes and my ambitions for what He wants for me,
the glory of
Christ.
All for His glory.
I'll take up my cross and follow wherever He may lead.
I'll live my life for the glory of Christ.
I'll take up my cross and follow wherever He may lead. I'll live my life. Sing it with us.
For the glory of Christ.
Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I'll take up my cross and follow wherever He may lead. I'll live my life for the glory of Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I believe the Lord has received glory in Brother Hurst being your pastor, right? Has brought glory to the kingdom of God and to Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. What a wonderful, beautiful day today to be in the house of the Lord, right? Amen. And I understand this is a Sunday morning, and I know Sunday morning services are extremely, extremely important. I view ours that way at our church to be they're a very important service. But it is important that we take time to honor the man of God and the men of God and women of God in our life. I just think that it's the right thing for a church to show appreciation in some way, right? And I commend you today for taking this opportunity to show your appreciation to Brother and Sister Hurst. And it is kind of awkward when you're the pastor sitting on the other side of the thing. You're a little bit awkward because you're not used to this, okay? You're used to patting everybody on the back just to keep them going and pushing and encouraging and lifting up and bragging on people just to keep them moving forward. And it's not very often that you get to sit back and somebody pat you on the back and encourage you and lift you up and do all of that type of stuff. Sister Hurst probably does that a lot for Brother Hurst, and Sister Sarah does that for Brother Brian, but amen. Today's third day, okay? Amen. And we want the Lord to be glorified, and I believe He is glorified, amen, in honoring your pastor. Amen. Just a couple of things, and then I'm going to get into the Bible, all right, into the Word of God. Amen. One of my most humiliating moments in the ministry took place with both of these men. All right? Not at the same time. Just a few years ago, I've been in the ministry for all these years. Just a couple years ago, Brother Brian and me, we were doing our routine at Sunset Hill Youth Camp and thinking that we was really sending it over the top. We were doing a great job, and about 11-year-old boy back in the back, you know, old enough to be at youth camp, but he starts crying, "Mom! Mom! This is so dumb!" Like, I mean, I just felt so deflated after that. I thought, man, here I thought I was doing a good job, and and this kid's crying, and he gets up in his seat, goes crying to his mom, "Mom, this is so," and I mean, everybody hears it. That's why it's so horrible, you know, and everybody's, "Yeah, we know, it is dumb, let's go." It was bad. Very bad. Then when Brother Hurst, I give a lot of credit to me being in the ministry to Brother Hurst. I really do, because when I was just a freshman in Bible school, it was his third year, I believe, and then my second year was his fourth year. I think that's right. And so he was Clifford Hurst. he was the man. And I was just a lowly freshman and trying to find my way. But he was so good to me and kind to me. And he took me with him many times to, as he ministered, he needed somebody to ride with him. And so one time he leans over to me in one of those services and he says, "David, I feel this song in my heart. I really need you to sing it." I'm like, "Okay." He told me what song it was. I can't even remember now. It's one of those memories you try to get out of your mind, you know. And I said, "I don't know the words, man. You know, you need words, you know." And I said, I really don't know the words." And he said, I know them. I'll write them down for you." So he wrote down words, and came time for him to get up there, and he wanted me to sing. And so he goes to the piano, and he starts playing the piano, and I start singing this song that he had written. And I mean, I was familiar with the song. I knew how it was supposed to go. But as I got going through those words, I was singing them. I'm like, "These are not." He had just, and I kind of look over to him, and he's over there playing that piano, and he's got that, you know, he gets that smirk when he's done something, and he's got that smirk on his face, and it was just, I'm like, "Oh, if I could just get over to you." And I was just singing words that, and so he is a songwriter, he borrows the tune, but he can write the words, yes, he can. We had a lot of great times in those days, didn't we, Brother Hurst? What was that car that you drove? It was a Toyota, wasn't it? Man, that thing was like, I think that was the first Toyota I've ever seen in my life. That thing there, that was like, that was an awesome little car. And we just traveled around the country. And I remember a trip, Mark and Mike Barker in that car with us. Remember that? Toyota's a good car, man. It could pull the hills with those two in there. And that little car, and we were, just, that was a little bitty car. And we were, I think we was going all the way down to Texas. Was that right? Oh, my, what a trip. And so a lot of great memories from Bible school all the way up. But one thing is that, it's been 12 years since we resigned our church here in the Dayton area and moved on. And but one thing I have missed in 12 years, okay, is the close friendship with this man as being a neighboring pastor. I've not had that since, and I'll tell you what, I miss that so much. And there's days, Brother Hurst, I long for those days and for somebody, another minister close by that would be a good friend to me. And it's you miss that. And I appreciate the friendship and the friend that he was to me while we were right here as neighboring pastors. It's not very many times that you have a good relationship with a neighboring pastor, right? No, we do. But he is always very, very good to me. I want to read to you something, okay? Tom Rainer, he's got a blog that I love to read. I'd prefer that you don't read it because you'll get a lot of my material. But it's an awesome blog. He went to his church board and he asked them, he gave them some of the duties of a pastor, a list of the duties of the pastor, and he asked them to write down for him how many hours they thought that he should put himself into that particular duty as a pastor. And so he passed out these papers and they began to write down all the hours that they thought he should put in. So first of all, there was prayer time at the church. They thought he should put 14 hours a week in at prayer time at the church. Sermon preparation, 18 hours. Outreach and evangelism, that's 10 hours. Counseling, he ought to be counseling for 10 hours. Hospital and home visits, 15 hours a week. Administrative functions, 18 hours a week. His community involvement should be 5 hours a week. denominational involvement, 5 hours a week. Church meetings, 5 hours a week. Worship service. I'm sorry. When I read that, I thought, you got to be kidding me. Oh, 5 hours. Worship services, preaching, 4 hours a week. Other, 10 hours a week. A total of 114 hours a week. Right. Oh, turn the page over. The hours for your wife that we'd like for her to put in. No, that wasn't on there, but I wanted to add that as well. But 114 hours a week. Let me tell you, being a pastor is not a part-time job. It's not a part-time job. Had a man ask me one day, he said, what do you do all day? What do you do all day? No, I don't know. Look with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12. Thank you. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Wonderful verses there. Paul admonishing the church to recognize those that labor among him, right? But notice verse 13. And to esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Amen. Lord, thank you for the good day, and thank you for the presence of the Lord that we feel. I pray you bless Brother and Sister Hurst, and I pray you bless Brother Brian and Sister Sarah today. Lord Jesus, bless their life. And God, I pray that you make it a wonderful day for them. But God, I pray that you'd let your anointing rest upon the church today. And God, let your will be done in the altar, and we'll give you the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Being past appreciation, I thought these verses are appropriate to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And that's always good to show your appreciation, right? And then I thought it was interesting, Paul put this right at the end of it there, and be at peace among yourselves. Because, you know, one of the best ways to show appreciation to your pastor is just be at peace among yourselves. Be at peace. Don't make him put out a fire today, all right? You know, one of those between people. Don't make him have to do anything major today. Let's just show appreciation for Brother and Sister Hurst today, all right? Amen. When I think about our pastor and the man and the quality of person that him and Sister Hurst would be for us today, man, I hold them in very high esteem. I hold them in very high esteem. And I know that you do. I know that you do. But this is a church, a thriving church. It's a church that's alive and doing a lot for Christ. And I think whenever you see a church that is doing that, you have to go and you have to look at the pastor. All right? You have to. And things like this just don't happen. They just don't happen. There are, and they have trouble pinning this down, but in the United States, there's somewhere around 500,000 pastors today. 500,000 pastors, all right? And that's 500,000. 500,000 of them. And you have one of 500,000. And you have got the one that out of 500,000 pastors today that God has chosen for this church and this congregation. Yeah. You know, when Samuel went to the house of Jesse and all these men passed by, they was all good and qualified, but it wasn't the man that God wanted until he came to David. Said, this is the man. This is the one. All of them had qualifications. All of them had abilities. But this was the man that God chose, was David. And I believe that out of 500,000 ministers and pastors today, God chose one man for Union Pentecostal Church. Amen. Praise the Lord that God would see fit to give us the one man that this church needs, right? The one man. Hey, man, out of that 500,000, you know that 60% of them are not going to be in the ministry more than 10 years. All right? That narrows it down to around 200,000 men, and there's one of them right there, one of the, out of 200,000 men that's willing to stick it out more than 10 years in the ministry. Amen. To be able to stay at the church for more than 10 years. All right? Yes. I mean, to be able to stay at the same church, to have that, you know, think about it. There's a lot of guys that have to leave the church because they have so much baggage at the church. So many problems, and they've lived there so long, they got to run from the bill collectors, they got to run from all of the legal problems that they've got themselves into, and man, they can't even stay there very long. Thank God we have a man of God and a pastor, amen, that is dedicated to the Lord and is able to, dedicate to the ministry and able to be here today, right, to lead this church. Amen. Out of that 200,000 of them, okay, there's a large percent of them that are doctrinally incorrect. Okay? There's only 34% of those that are preaching doctrine correctly. Yeah. Man, that narrows it there, that narrows it down, okay, to about 68,000. You've got one out of 68,000. And man, I don't have time to keep on taking it down, but I'm telling you what, you have got the man for Union Pentecostal Church, all right? God has chosen the man. Amen. And we need to be appreciative of what God has given us. I wonder if I could, for just a little bit, can I tell you, amen, and just tell you about the pastor and his peers. Your pastor is a man that has friends. They're not all here in this church. He's got pastor friends all over the country that hold him in high regard and have great respect for him. Your pastor is not just your average run-of-the-mill preacher. Amen. But he is a man that is recognized by pastors all over the country as a man of God and as a quality preacher and as a sought after preacher. Amen. Men call for advice and men call to get his opinion. That is a man that is recognized by his peers as a man of God. Amen. You ought to be thankful that you have a preacher, amen, that a pastor, amen, that is recognized by those across the country as a man of God. Amen. Not one that when they go to a camp, everybody runs for the corners. Amen. But and tries to avoid. But no, one that people look up to, respect, and revere. He's a man as a man of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for a pastor that is appreciated by his peers. You know, you can tell a lot about a man by how his peers respond and respect him. You can tell about the quality of an individual by those that have to work alongside them, how they respond to them and how they show respect to them. And I think that you can find that Brother Hurst has a good name among his peers all over the country. Amen. Praise God. The pastor, you know, many times I'm going to talk to you about the pastor and his problems, because the pastor does have problems. I know many times, you know, the pastor is supposed to be a superhero, and he never has any problems, never has anything go wrong. Everything's supposed to be perfect. The pastor expected to be the perfect spouse, the perfect parent, have the perfect marriage, raise the perfect kids. Good to see you, Brother Micah. Amen. He never speaks a cross word, never forgets not one anniversary, never even has a wrinkle in his suit. No, the pastor's wife is also scrutinized by every member of the church. Her hair, her dress, her personality, her involvement in the church, or lack of involvement. Everybody scrutinizes the pastor's children. Yeah, they can never be normal kids, right, in the fishbowl of the parsonage and of the man of God. They're expected to act like adults at the age of 2, with mature behavior at all times. His children can never argue, never talk back to a teacher, and they can never, ever, ever, ever color outside of the lines. Never do that. Why? Because we have such a high opinion of the pastor. We think our pastor is, you know, we think that when he goes home, and man, he walks around the house in his Superman costume with his cape on, and he's that's the way he is. Let me tell you what, he is a man. Guess what? His house needs repaired. His cars break down, right? His lawn has to be mowed just like anybody else's. Amen. He has got personal things that he has to deal with in his life. But many times he puts it all aside. All of his problems go on the back burner. All of his things go on the back burner. Why? For the care of the church. For the care of the church. And even though he feels the pressure of his family and feels the load of his children and the burden for his own family, amen, he also carries the burden for your family and your children. Amen. The pastor has to know how to take his problems to the Lord and has to know how to pray. Amen. When we were pastoring here, there was times me and Brother Hurst got together for prayer, and I know he's a man of prayer. Amen. That knows how to take his needs before the Lord and to pray and seek God. The pastor. Amen. I just want, this is not one of, wasn't really going to be one of my points, but I want to throw it in there. The pastor and prosperity. I knew it. I knew you'd get to that. Oh, no, the pastor will be prospered. No doubt about it, okay? You can be a part of that and be blessed in the prosperity of the pastor. Or you can sit by and watch God as God blesses the pastor. But I can tell you this, God will take care of the man of God. And God will bless him in every way and in many ways that you cannot imagine. But listen, you can be a part of being in that blessing. And you can be blessed by prospering your pastor. Amen. I'll move on. Okay. The pastor and his people. Amen. The pastor is his heart is for his people. His heart is here. On a Sunday when he is away, his heart is in his church. When he's on vacation, he's never on vacation. He's always carrying the load of the church upon his shoulders and the burden for your family and your teenagers, Brother Brian. And he's carrying that burden upon your... You say, he's on vacation again? He's on vacation again. We act like we're spoiled children, you know, that when our brother is getting attention and mom is combing our brother's hair, we're over there like, she don't even love me. She don't even care about me. Come on. You know, just because Brother Hurst may not be right here, right now in this, you know, he still has a burden for you. Amen. If he's out of town, he's calling. He's checking. Amen. He's worried. He's praying. He's burdened for you. He's burdened for you. Man, I had a man ask me one time if I thought it was right that while I was out preaching a revival somewhere and receiving an offering for preaching a revival somewhere, that the church, is it right for the church to pay me? That's fine. You could do, you know, whatever you want to do, but... If you don't pay me, I'm not answering my phone. I'm not coming home for your funeral. Okay? If you get sick, don't call for prayer. No way. You know why? Because when we are away, we're still praying for you. We're still concerned for you. We still carry the load and the burden in our heart for our church. Amen. Brother Hurst is a man of God that carries the load and the burden for his congregation 24/7. He don't leave it at the church when he goes home. He carries it with him. He don't hang it in the closet with the suit when he goes to bed. He lays down and that burden pushes him down into the mattress. He lays down with it. He wakes up with it. Amen. He goes down the road with it. He's on vacation with a burden. Oh, Brother Bram, you don't. It's true. You don't pick up the burden and lay down a burden for a church, amen, like it's a suitcase. It's something that weighs on you every day, 24/7. He loves his people. He loves his people. I can tell you this, if Brother Hurst was away and he was needed, he would be here. You know why? Because his burden is here. His heart is here. Amen. He loves his people. He loves his people. The pastor and his preaching. I don't need to tell you this, but your pastor's an awesome preacher. This is a man that knows the Bible. All right? This is a man that knows the Word of God. Amen. He is a man that can preach. Hallelujah. Isn't it great to have a preacher that you like to listen to? Amen. Wouldn't it be horrible to have to come to church and hear a man preach that you, please stop. Please, would you stop? No, but this is a man that knows how to preach. Knows how to break down the Word of God and preach with power and preach with an anointing upon his life. Amen. To preach what you need to hear, whether you like it or not. Amen. To be able to preach the Word of God. Oh, thank God for a pastor that knows how to preach. That knows how to preach. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And when I was just when we was in Bible school, Brother Hurst, and you were the man. You were the preacher. He was. I'm serious. He preached some awesome messages in Bible school. Bible college. And I'd just sit there and think, man, how does he do that? How does he do that? But my room was next door to him and Brother Guy Parrish. They roomed next door to me. Okay? And when I would wake up in the morning to Jimmy Swaggart, and what was that other guy? Stearns or Starnes or whatever his name was, playing over there, and I would hear praying in that room beside me. That's what makes a preacher. That's what makes a preacher. Amen. He was anointed. Amen. Praise God. I want to talk to you about a pastor and his prayer life, because a pastor has to pray. Pastor has to pray. You've got a preacher that is up early to pray for you. I don't know if he remembers, but I remember because he told me one time. He says, "You know, I feel like I need to be up praying for my people when they go to church, when they're on their way to work. Praying for them. So please get a job where he can sleep in a little bit." You 4:30 in the morning people are going to have to wait. Drive careful, all right? But no, he has that burden to pray for his people. He prays for you, takes your name before the Lord and calls you out before God. Amen. It's not just pray, oh God, help me. God, help me, help me. But it's, Lord, move on my people. Send revival to this church. God, bless them, protect them, keep them, provide for them. He's prayed for your marriage. He's prayed for your children. How many times, amen, has he prayed and God moved for you and brought healing to your body? Prayed for your children and they were saved. Prayed for your spouse and they came back to the Lord. Amen. How many times has he prayed over the last 20 something years? Is it 22 years? Praying for you. Amen. Thank God for a man of God that prays. The pastor and his practice. Pastor and his practice. You know what? It's you can find preachers that preach. But can you find a man that practices what he preaches? Amen. A man that lives a godly life. A man that has a godly home. A man that practices what he just don't get up here and blast you, but he lives what he preaches. Hallelujah. When he tells you something, you know that he's preaching at himself as much as he's preaching to you. Amen. And he tries to practice what he preaches. I believe he is a man of prayer. He is a man of power. I believe he is a man of purity. Amen. As he serves God and serves in this capacity as a pastor, thank God for a preacher that practices what he preaches. Amen. I know you're probably looking forward to this. Pastor, lastly, the pastor and his program. The pastor, amen, that has something going on. I remember one time somebody was telling me about their pastor, said he didn't make it to service that night, and said that he had been working on his house and time got away from him. And before he realized it, it was too late and church was already going on. That is not a man with a program. Wait, that's a building program on his own house. But that is not a man. Here, you know what? You've got a pastor that has a program. He has a plan. He has a vision for this church. Amen. He has a vision and a plan for what God wants to do. Amen. You're sitting in a church that has things going on. Amen. I've just in this, you know what? A choir that sings, you say, oh, well, we got a choir leader. Let me tell you what, a pastor that has a program puts a choir together. Amen. Puts songs together. Amen. Puts together Camp Dove. Helps put together, amen, a youth group. But I'll tell you what, when your young people roll on to Sunset Hill Campground, amen, and they get off of that bus, you know what everybody said? There's a church that has a program. Amen. Something going on. Thank God that there's something happening here, because you have a man of God and a woman of God that has a burden and a program and a vision and a plan. Amen. They're not just sitting here waiting for something to fall out of the sky, but they prayed and they've sought God and they say, this is where we need to go. I believe this is our next step. This is the vision that I have. This is the burden on my heart. Amen. And he tries to get you to buy into that program of God that God's laid on his heart. He is a man with a plan. Praise God. A program. You know what? Churches, out of those 500,000 pastors that I was talking to you about, okay? I know we're living in what we call a mega church society, where everybody thinks everybody goes to a mega church. Do you know that the average church size is anywhere from 60 to 70 people? The average church size. That is the average church. Look around. You are well above average. Why is that? Because you have a pastor that has a program. You had a pastor that has a program. Amen. While every pastor wants his number to grow. Amen. Brother Hurst is not consumed with that, but he has a vision and he has a program and he has a plan for this church. Amen. I can guarantee you he has a burden in his heart and a plan right now that he has not revealed to anyone in here, but God is already dealing with his heart. Amen. And God has already spoke to him about the future. Thank God. God for a pastor that has a plan and a vision and a burden, amen, that this church is going to go forward. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. I'm almost done. Amen. The pastor and his pressure. The pastor and his pressure. Do you know what pressure is? You know, pressure exists everywhere. Okay? Exists everywhere. Man, we was in school the other day, and there was the chemistry class, and he was talking about pressure. And he's talked this, their chemistry teacher, he's a very large man. And he said, if a 200-pound woman wearing a high heel with a heel 1 square inch steps on your foot with that heel, she is applying 200 pounds of pressure per square inch on your foot. That's what he told him. I screamed and nobody was even stepping on my foot. But you know, pressure is everywhere. Pressure. You know, there's external pressure on it that exists in the ministry. If you have an empty water bottle, you know what? You take the cap off, you hold it there. There is pressure inside, there's pressure outside. But if the pressure on the outside becomes greater than the pressure that is on the inside, that water bottle will collapse. If you take it, put it to your mouth, and inhale and suck all of the air out of that bottle, you've taken all the pressure that was holding it out, you've taken it out of that bottle, and that bottle collapses. How many of you have ever seen that or done that? You know what I'm talking about? That is because the external pressure has gotten greater than the internal pressure. Amen? External pressure has gotten greater than the internal pressure. Listen, if your pastor experiences external pressure, pressure for his family, his personal life. Amen. That pressure is on him every day. He experiences that pressure. Pressure that you know nothing about. Pressure that you know nothing about. From finances of his own, from the finances of the church, to your finances. That's right. Worrying about his children, the children of the church, and your children. Worrying about his marriage and your marriage. He carries that external pressure upon him all the time. He is under that pressure. And that is why there are so many ministers that do not stay in the ministry for more than 10 years. They collapse under the pressure. They burn out under the pressure. Amen. Why has Brother Hurst been able to stay in the ministry, actively working for God and being successful in the ministry? It's because there is an internal pressure that was inside of him. It's what Jeremiah said. There is a fire shut up in my bones. Amen. I'll tell you what it is. There's the Holy Ghost inside of your pastors. Amen. That keep them pressure. Amen. There's a fire. And even though the pressure around them may get great and heavy at times. Amen. That's why they go to an altar and they kindle that fire inside of them. Amen. That creates the internal pressure. Amen. That allows them to be victorious in the ministry. Amen. Thank God for that internal pressure. Pray for your pastor. God, stir that fire inside of him. Stir that Holy Ghost fire inside of Brother Brian. Lord, I pray that you just put an anointing deep inside of his heart. Amen. You want your pastor to hold up under the pressure? Pray that God puts the Holy Ghost deep inside of him. That fire of the Holy Ghost continues to burn. Amen. You want your pastor to continue to be successful and continue to be productive as your pastor? Pray for the Holy Ghost. Amen. That it would create that internal pressure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm done here just now. You can stand with me. Can I leave you with this? Isaiah chapter 54, verse 2. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. Notice what he says, enlarge the place of thy tent. Stretch forth. Spare not. Lengthen the cord. Strengthen the stakes. Isaiah was prophesying to them that there was going to be something great getting ready to happen. Hallelujah. I'm not telling you that I'm here to prophesy today. But I can tell you this. When you have a man of God that has a burden, that has a vision, that has a plan, that has an anointing, man, I believe that you can expect God to do great things. Amen. The glory days of Union Pentecost Church are not behind them, but they are ahead of them. Amen. The future is bright. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, Brother Hurst has been here 22 years, but it's not because he's old. It's because he started really young. Amen. And he did. And God has used him and blessed him. And you have still got a long way to go and a great future. Amen. What God wants to do for this church. Amen. Get behind your pastors. Support them. Pray for them. Pray that God would send an anointing of the fire of the Holy Ghost down upon them and upon this church. I believe revival can break out. Amen. That this building could be full. Amen. I know if you talk to the heart of your pastor, amen, he's got a vision of something greater. Amen. He's already seen it with his heart's eye and his mind's eye. Amen. Souls in the altar, the pews full, a building program. I believe that God has given him a vision and a plan. Amen. Let's let God do something here in this church. Amen. Praise God. Get behind the man of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God, I am not here to make your pastors uncomfortable today. Not in the least. That's not our purpose. Amen. They know my heart. I love both of them so much. I admire them very much. Amen. Your pastor has got a great future ahead of him. And if the Lord tarries, God's plan is going to be accomplished here in this church. Hallelujah. Brother Brian and Sister Sarah, top-notch young people. Amen. I know he's a homeboy. I know he is. But understand, God's put his hand on his life, all right? For such a time as this, God's put him here. Let me tell you, I pastor where I grew up in my home church, okay? I've got my Sunday school teacher sit over there, and I preach to him all the time, too. And I know that, what, that little guy, what's he think, you know? But I know, let me tell you what, God's got his hand on Brother Brian and Sister Sarah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know what the future is for their ministry and where they'll be 10 years from now. I don't know. But while you have them, realize they're going to have a burden for your group, your young people. Hallelujah. I'm not here to make them uncomfortable, but Brother Hurst, if you would, and Brother Brian, if you'd bring your family and come and stand before us today. Hey, amen. It's impossible for us all to gather around them. I understand that. It's impossible. But could I have this? Could I have the leadership? Is that all right, Brother Hurst? To have the leadership of the church, the deacons, amen, and their spouses, if they would, to come and gather behind them. And let's pray for them, all right? We'll pray for the... We're not praying, you know. Understand, okay? God's established them here. We know that. What we want to pray is, God, help us to fulfill the vision and the burden that you've placed on this man's heart. Help us to accomplish the plan of God that you have put on this man of God's heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. Church, would you just stretch your hand this way? Amen. Let's pray that God, amen, would accomplish his vision and his purpose. Hallelujah. Lord God, I know, Lord Jesus. God, the plan that you have in mind, Lord, the purpose that you've established in Brother Hurst's heart. God, I ask you, Lord God, that you have put your hand upon him. God, kindle that fire of the Holy Ghost inside of his soul, Lord Jesus. God, I pray, Lord God, let that fire, God, that shut up inside of him, God, let it burn bright, Lord God. Lord Jesus, I pray, God, let the will of God, let the plan of God, let the program of God be established in this church, in this congregation. God, touch Brother Brian and Sister Sarah. Use them for your glory, God. God, to preserve our young people. God, to lead our young people, Lord Jesus. God, we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the Holy Ghost move in our hearts now, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, we need your anointing. We need your anointing, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Give us a burden for the lost of faith.
Hallelujah, God. I thank you, Jesus.
Even
thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh, help us to stand when others fall. Be willing to serve in big and small. This is
oh yes, God. This is the prayer. This is our prayer, Lord.
Each and every
God, this is our prayer, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Give us a burden for the lost, a faith that will shine even in the darkest hour.
Hallelujah. Why don't we just lift our hands and thank God for our pastors this morning. Hallelujah.
Others fall. Be willing to serve in big and small. This is
hallelujah,
the
God. Thank you, pray. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for Brother Hurst. Sister Hurst, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God, for their ministry. Thank you, God, for their life. Their life of purity. Their life of dedication. A life of commitment to the kingdom and to the work of God.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, Jesus. God, thank you for Brother Brian and Sister Sarah, Lord. God. Put your hand upon them, Lord Jesus. Use them and anoint them, oh God, I pray, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Okay, everybody is invited to the Von Hall in the back for a meal. And the chicken's already here, so I guess Brother David went too long. I don't know. But let's go ahead and pray over the meal. Father, we're so thankful for your love and your attention to us. We ask God that you'd bless us this day. Let this day be special in our hearts, Lord. Let us love one another. Let us show love to our pastors. We ask you to bless the food that's been prepared. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.